Paul, let's talk to him. Let's pray.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We are so thankful and so grateful that we have, for the freedoms that we have, that we live in a free country. Yes. Father, help us to understand and to see that the freedoms that we have are not just to be taken for granted, because there are Christians all over the world that are being persecuted, and we still have the freedom to worship and to come here in public. Father, I pray for Larry as he delivers this message. I pray, Lord, that you would bless him, that you would prepare each one of our hearts to hear what you would have to say for him. Let Larry be the conduit, and you work through him and speak through him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This, anybody hear this? I don't want to turn that up too high. Yeah. This worship is called You're in My Hiding Place. Sometimes we need, when we're going through stuff, we need a hiding place, even dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide. So I just thought it'd be a little reminder to us to worship with the hiding place. Let's get the lights.
Deliverance whenever I am.
stood out to me was, let the weak say I'm strong. Everybody say that. Let the weak say I'm strong. This lesson is about in the strength of the Lord. This lesson is about realizing that our spiritual enemies have been defeated. But there's something we still need to do. Okay? And we're going to start out with a story from the about the four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 6. There was a great famine in the land, but also a miracle. Verse 24, and it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all of his army and swept up and besieged Samaria. How much of his army?
All of it.
And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 8 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, this woman said to me, give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. This is a true story. And I said to her the next day, give your son that we may eat him, but she has hidden him. Skipping down to chapter 6, Elisha was there. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, for a say of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 says of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. How could Elisha say such a thing? What a prophecy that was. They were boiling each other and eating them, and Elisha came around and said, don't worry. We got it covered. 7:2 in Second Kings. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, how could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. But here's a guy that didn't trust what the prophet said. He said, I don't believe you. He said, well, you'll see it, but you won't eat of it. And if I don't get there, what happened to that guy? He was trampled. He was killed. Okay. Verse 3. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. Remember, these are outside the gate. Why were the lepers outside the gate?
Outcast.
Were they the weak? The weakest of all, right? And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Here they are, sitting there, famine here, enemies there. And they said, we can't just sit here. We got to do something. The 4 lepers were used to save the entire part of Israel. The least qualified, the weakest people were used to bring in God's will deliverance. So it is with us. God will use the weakest of us, the ones who are most broken, to overtake us with his loving character to bring in his kingdom. Remember a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, we talked about the 1-hour man? Gets the kingdom first. Verse 4. If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit there, we die also. So if they go in the city, they'll die. If we sit here, we'll die, because there ain't nothing to eat out here either. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. And if they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. So rather than just sitting there, they said, we'll do something, okay? They rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Assyrians to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. And they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Ephesians, to attack us. So what happened was, here's the Assyrians sitting there, the whole army of Assyria sitting there. And God gave them a rumor, a vision. That they're going to be attacked by an army bigger than they are. So they got out of there. and they left everything there. When the lepers arrived at the Syrians' camp, they were all gone. So with same with us. If we, as helpless lepers in our sufferings, that's a type, of course, we will just enter, we'll just to the, which is a misspelling there, we'll just go to the enemy's camp, we'll find they're all gone. This kind of miracle defeats the enemy and challenges you to walk out your sufferings as the lepers did, not as the people in the city did. This is called overcoming. But wait, not only did the lepers eat, but they also shared their food with those back in the city. Now, that's kind of unusual. Here's the people in the city allowing them to starve to death, casting out the lepers. Lepers went out there and there was, who knows what kind of great food was there. Fresh water, food, dessert, apple pie, you know, the whole deal. And they're sitting there eating. They said, wait a minute. The people in the city are starving. The people who cast us out, the people who hurt us the most, are hurting. Let's tell them about this food. What do you think about that?
The lepers had experienced what the Israelites were experiencing in the fortress. So they had more. They had empathy for them, I would say.
Yeah, empathy. But that's loving your enemies. Isn't
Larry, it's
it?
A very Judeo-Christian mission to go in and take care of those that you have. It's not just Christian, though it is Christian.
Right.
It's Judeo and Israel does that, and Marlene could share many stories.
Oh yeah, they're doing it today.
Yes, ma'am.
They're taking the Palestinians into their hospitals.
So it's a biblical principle, you know. But I wanted to kind of piggyback on what you were trying to say about the lepers. You know, we get boxed up into a corner by the devil. And he makes us feel like we can't do anything, doesn't he? He makes us feel like we're sick, or we're just stupid, or we're just this, or we're just that. But you know, if you can get in that secret place with the Lord God Almighty, he will begin to fill you with his strength. He will begin to fill you with the grace of God. He will begin to fill you so that you can go out and deal with whatever it is you've got to deal with victory. Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, let's see what happened. They went and they... 2 Kings 7, 9 through 10. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrians' camp. There was no one there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied in tents intact. Now, what it doesn't say here is when everybody rushed out of the city and left this verse out to get that food, they ran over that guy that didn't believe, and they crushed him to death. You know, the guy that said, how could this possibly happen? So, we got to have faith, guys. Faith, 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 faith. So how do we walk into the enemy's camp? How do we do that? If our enemy is defeated, Barry, you want to say something?
I was just thinking that, just an observation. Paul was praying about freedom, and believe me, I'm not anti-freedom, but I think when we have an abundance of freedom, there's a propensity for us to go down some avenues that we shouldn't be going down to try and seek out whatever. Self-satisfaction, nirvana, whatever. Whereas if you're living in a where there's an oppressive regime, you're already seeking that hiding place.
That's right.
And you're right. Closer, and you've eliminated a lot of extraneous walks down the.
Very, very, very intuitive.
Yes, sir.
Hold it good and close because I don't have it up very high.
Well, the motivation here is that they were afraid that if they didn't do something good, they'd be punished. Isn't it good that we do ours because we do it out of love and not out of fear?
I noticed that. Yes. I noticed that as I read it later. Yeah, it was, they didn't want to be punished. You're right. You're right. Okay. We must speak to our enemies. It's called authoritative. Everybody say authoritative prayer. The cross has gained victory over all of our enemies. However, now it's our task to bring that victory to earth. The four lepers only give us a partial view. They gave us a type and shadow of how the weakest of all can be used by God to show that our enemies have been defeated. Like today's overcomers, the few can be victory, can bring victory and deliverance to the many. So, if we walk into our enemy's camp, they're still there. But they're defeated. Okay? We can see them. We feel them. We experience them. They didn't flee already, but they've been defeated. So what do, knowing that we have authority over those enemies? Authoritative prayer. Let's get into it. However, be aware that it's our responsibility now to position ourselves for effective, authoritative prayer. We must position ourselves in the secret place, the hiding place, there's hiding of God, in order to utilize authoritative prayer. You can't just be living any old way in sin or in what you might call it, however, without, obviously we repent our way through life. We all mess up every day, maybe every hour, yes. But in order to use this authoritative prayer, we have to make sure that we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Just a minute, please. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of Almighty. I will say, Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. Now, what I'm saying, he got it.
Yeah.
He got it.
Yeah. You know, Scott mentioned the war room. And I just wanted to just say that the devil fights us every way he can to keep us out of the war room.
Right.
If you've seen that movie with Miss Clara, she even had a closet that she got into, and she put notes up that she was praying about. And there is a listen, we have a choice. God doesn't make us. We have a choice to say, I've got to get along with the Lord. I've got to get the victory over this. Whatever this is that's troubling me and my family, I have got to have help from God, from the Lord Almighty, because it's not here in this world. It's not in anybody, any human person. I've got to touch the source of life. I've got to touch that resurrection power of Jesus that raised him from the grave, that spoke this world into being, the Creator. I have got to touch him. Because I've got to have some help.
And if you don't touch him, you can't pray authoritative prayer.
And that's our way of getting on the floor and saying, oh, Abba, Father.
Right.
You know,
okay, page 3. We need to be in touch with God so that we can know or even sense what God is already declaring to you, what his will is for a particular area of your prayer life. When we know that something is already bound or loosed in heaven, then we must voice that here on earth. This is what I call authoritative prayer. In order to utilize this authority, you must be under God's authority in every way. Hello?
Right.
Somebody said that. John 15 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire to be done for you. We alone can speak to our spiritual enemies here on earth. God gave us the authority to speak on earth. I just want to read, you can read all of Psalms 8, 3 to 6, but he talks about this in verse 6. You have made him, man, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. And what God is saying there is, look, I can say whatever I want up here, but I've given the earth to man. And now it's up to you, me in you, hello, to speak now. You have to speak. Now, how does God speak?
With power.
Hold on, I'm going to read something out of Romans 4:17. You can turn there if you want. Romans is not in the lesson. Romans 4:17, talking about Abraham and his faith. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist just as though they do. What if God, I use this a lot, you're probably tired of it, looked at the earth the way it was all void and formless and full of water, and said, oh, what a problem I got.
Would anything have changed?
No.
He would say, oh, I made you, but that's... No, he said, I'm going to call those things that be not as though they are. Light be, and light to... Yes, sir. That's authoritative prayer.
The Lord brought something to mind. When my son was just about the end of high school, my husband left, things were bad, and my son decided to take the rebellious road for a while. And this mama was determined that he was not going to have my son, you know, because I grabbed onto that verse that said, you and your household will be saved. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor received begging bread. I grabbed onto those verses. Well, my son had this little friend down the street that was trouble. And Robert had never been interested in that kid, but it was trouble. And I knew it was trouble. Well, I went to talk to his mother, and she was trouble too. So Carolyn Mathis, a lot of y'all know her, I called her and I said, Carolyn, you're coming to my house and we're going on a prayer walk. And she said, okay. So she got there. I had my scriptures laid out. I had my bottle of oil. I had a bottle of oil. And she said, well, what are we going to do with this? I said, we are going down the street and we're going to go around this house and we're going to pour this oil. And she said, well, we can just pray here. I said, no, ma'am. I said, so here I go traipsing down the sidewalk and she's going after me, probably praying for my safety. You know, thinking that I had lost it. And I went down there, and I took that bottle of oil, and I walked around that house, and she said, you don't need to go up there. I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I do. I went all the way around that house, and I poured that oil on the ground. And I said, Lord, this is going to be where it stops. The enemy is not going to come into my territory. That boy is now in prison. My boy is teaching Sunday school.
Praise God.
You know, so,
yeah.
You know, when a mama gets hold of something, you know, she's going to say, no, it's not going to happen. And that's where we've got to be. That's authoritative prayer.
Amen.
God, you said it, not because
that's
of
right.
me,
that's
because
right.
mine.
That's right. Now, it's good for us. God, I'm asking you to do this in our prayer life. I thank you,
right.
and I love you for having done that. Please help me with this. Please help so-and-so with this. That's fine. That's good. But let's talk about authoritative prayer. Middle of page 3. Matthew 16:19, you see that towards the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Explains some of our responsibilities in bringing his will from heaven to earth. Isn't that why we're here now? Until his enemies are made our footstool, it says. Okay. I found that amplified version of the scripture, Matthew 16, really explains it well for me. Other versions leave out what is already bound or loose in heaven. Other versions other than the amplified Bible, for some reason, leave out the key point of authoritative prayer. Now let's read the Amplified Version. Jesus said this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven.
Right.
You just can't go around saying, there's a roach here and bind you in the name of Jesus. You know.
You can't be Santa Claus. You got to have some scripture to back it up.
I've tried that, you know. Thank you, Elizabeth, for understanding me.
I killed my mom. Too.
Declare to be on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loose in heaven. Now, I know for sure. I've been in your secret place enough for 30 some odd years, for 30 days, for 30 minutes. To know for sure that what I see in my life or this life or that situation in my life is wrong. It's not your will. I know for sure it's not your will. Therefore,
Amen.
I'm going to take the scripture that refers to that and I'm going to speak
Amen.
It against the devil just like War Room and say, in the name of Jesus,
Amen.
No.
Amen.
You, no, I bind it. I bind
Amen.
It in the name of Jesus and I loose for that person what you have for their life.
Amen.
Including some verses to go along with it.
If I perish, I perish.
Thank you.
You know, just like
Queen Esther. Queen Esther. This is how we use. Anybody got any questions on what is already bound? Okay, you understand. You have to be in the secret. You have to know what God is dealing with you about there. But man, when you know, don't just ask Him anymore. Be like Abraham. I call those things that be not as though they are.
Songs 91, she uses the name. She claims it.
That's right. Dwells in the secret place. That's right. Because mom knows that's his God's will for you.
Amen.
He's sure.
Amen.
Not my will, but God's will.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's what I want for my children.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
Oh yeah.
Those demons have to hear you speak.
Yes.
If it's 30 years, if it's 3 years, if it's 30 days, if it's 30 minutes.
If it's after I leave this earth, God will answer my prayer.
If it's after I leave, those demons are fake. What I mean by fake, they're real. But they're trying to convince you that you don't have authority over me. Mm-hmm. Ha ha ha, laugh at you in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock when you wake up. Mm-hmm. Russ, you know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
Huh? You just keep speaking to them.
That's a battle.
It's a battle.
Battle of the mind.
In this world, you will have tribulation, but fear not. I have overcome the world.
Here's how we usually do authority prayer. We feel it's important issue in our life that's contrary to God's will. We fellowship with Jesus in the Word and in prayer until we're convinced of that. Then we ask Him to give us a scripture to pray over the situation. Page 4. At this point, we might pray like this, and there's some blanks in here. Jesus, we feel like this issue is not God's will for us or the person we are praying for. Therefore, we bind and forbid that issue to continue in the name of Jesus. And it's okay to holler. I don't care what your neighbors think. Sometimes I say, I hope our neighbor doesn't think I'm talking to you, girl. Shut your mouth, I said. Hey, Satan. No, I'm not talking about my wife. What? People, huh?
In the next room.
Oh. I don't think, but okay. Thank you.
Oh, Lord. We blew it this morning.
However, we do feel that your will is, name your will, name what we feel God's will, and we hereby loose that solution in the name of Jesus. If we have scripture for this issue, use that scripture as you bind and loose. Then you will enter into the overcoming process. Sometimes the solution will come soon, and often it could take months, years. Overcoming brings in the kingdom of God. This is what we do. This is why we're here on earth right now. To defeat these principalities and powers and workers of darkness. And it says with the word of God in Ephesians 6.
Remember when we talked about faith and hope in one of your lessons, that hope is having the idea and
yes.
Faith is...
Believing it.
Believing.
Even if you don't see it. Call those things that be not as though they are. As you're praying this, that situation has got to line up with the scripture. Like Abraham said, I will be a father. I believe I will be a father of many nations. Even though I've been through the Eliezer deal, even though I've been through the Hagar deal, even though Sarah didn't believe, I've made all these mistakes. But God's forgiven me for all the mistakes I've made, didn't have faith. But in the end, Abraham believed. How could God call him a man of faith? How could God brag on him in the New Testament? All those mistakes.
Because he did it shaken. He did it.
He did it.
What God told
in the very end, it says in Romans 4:17, he believed God who calls those things that be not as though they are. In the name of Jesus, this person is healed. Then look healed. It's okay. It's God's will. Hallmark's got a pretty clean. Yeah,
it's
you're right.
Always got an overcoming story.
Always got an overcoming story.
Always got an overcoming story on it.
Just after Jesus taught about prayer with the Lord's Prayer, he cast out a demon. And with that, he alerted us that we must be overcomers. Now, remember we talked about the Lord's Prayer about a month ago. But right after that, he didn't stop talking about prayer. In Luke 11, he said, look it. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. He's talking about an evil strong man here. But one is stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, which means to prevail in a legal courtroom setting. That's what overcoming means. He takes from him not only all his armor, which he trusted, the demon's armor, but he divides his spoils. In other words, you overcome these demons through authoritative prayer. That demon has spoils. And if you look at what the spoils of the world are, the world system, is it Revelation 18, it includes the souls of men. Thank you. Look at the Red Sea. My goodness gracious. Moses heard to go out there, and then he doubted. And then God spoke, and he doubted. He said, put out this. How could he have done that?
They look on the other side. They forgot. As soon as
they forgot on the other side.
He had to have some kind of faith to go all the way out there to the Red Sea.
That's right. But they wavered back and forth, back and forth. That's why I'm saying, don't be condemned if you waver. Repent, keep going with God, stay in the secret place, get rid of your sin, get rid of your doubt.
Can you imagine looking right there face to face to that?
No. I've seen some Red Seas, Lou.
And as much as we waver, we can. I always go back to Jesus. Right before his ascension, what did he say? All authority in heaven and
come
earth
on now
has been given to
how
me.
Much?
Yes.
All
say
authority.
It again.
All authority.
And where does Jesus live
me
right now?
Right.
Where does he live?
Amen.
Inside of you.
And he said to his disciples, now you go in my name.
Hallelujah, brother.
Carry out
you
my word.
You finished the lesson.
All authority.
You got the anointing.
That's it. That's it.
You got it. Now, after they got to the other side, and they were thirsty, they went to Mara, which is a big lake.
I think he would have gotten worn out after the Red Sea, but no.
And it was bitter water. They could not drink it. And they all cursed Moses. Look what you did to us. And what did God do? He says, I've got a type of the cross here. I don't want you to get just any tree. I want this particular tree right here. You get this particular tree, which represents to me the cross, and you put it into whatever's bitter. And I'll turn into sweet. And you know what happened after that? I don't remember the exact verse, but they walked out to another place that had water and palm trees and a wonderful place. And everything about that other place they walked to represents the kingdom of God.
Larry.
So when we have bitter waters, we put the cross into it and we get the kingdom.
I want to add to the conversation that often it takes a very long time for the Lord to answer a prayer. The Lord gave me a promise that took 20 years to fulfill. But I think sometimes we look more to getting the provision that we want the Lord to give us rather than His presence, which will take us through anything. And I think we also have to look at the fact that, I think Paula mentioned it a minute ago, I mean, so many people died, even in the scripture it says in Hebrews, that they didn't see their prayers answered. But it's a journey. It's His presence. And we are not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of heaven. And we have to keep that perspective or we'll be angry at the Lord.
Right.
Because He's not coming through on our timetable. And we're taking authority and all the things that we're discussing. And I agree with all of that, but it just doesn't go like we want it to.
We aren't in heaven yet.
I mean, it's...
We aren't in heaven yet.
And you know, what you reminded me of something is during this time, God is healing us. He's transforming us on the inside so that when we do say the authoritative prayers, we have more authority.
Right.
Because He's taken the flesh out of us.
Right.
The flesh can't have authority over demons. But as we go through trials and we get cleansed and we're purified, we have more authority. That's why it takes a long time sometimes.
And sometimes the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And if He answers a prayer that we're asking for, it may not be to our advantage later down the road.
Right. His timing is perfect.
Amen.
Larry, may I say something?
Yeah, let me get up there. You guys are saying a lot of good things here today.
While you were teaching and everybody was talking, and Arlene so eloquently stated that about it's his presence, you know, it boils down again to a choice. And I saw the great potter in the sky, the Lord God Almighty. And I saw this on the potter's wheel.
Praise
we're just clay. And I saw when we get in that secret place, he's able to take us and mold us into what he wants us to be, into the beautiful image that he wants. But by default, if we don't get into that place with the Lord, then the enemy is also somebody that begins to mold us into the images of the world.
Amen.
And most of those images in the world are heartache and dissatisfaction and drug addiction and all kinds of things that...
Anger, hatred.
Exactly. And the Lord wants to mold us and get that out of us. So I just saw this image of this great potter in the sky, that he does that with us in the secret place, and that we need to be real careful that we don't, by default, allow ourselves to be too much under this kind of thing that fashions us into a very unhappy person.
You know, I think,
I want to say, too, I share those things about praying or doing a prayer walk or authoritative prayer. When I walked back in my house that day after we'd poured oil and I felt powerful, my son didn't come in that night and it was all peaches and cream and he was teaching Sunday school. That's been a lot of years that we were up and down and up and down and up and down, and it's staying in the battle no matter how long it takes.
Yes, right.
You know, it's and I know parents that are still dealing with wayward children or wayward spouses or things that you have cried out to the Lord for, but it's in that place that our Almighty God says, this one is mine. This one's praying for somebody else. Let me twist them. Let me use this situation and work all things together to do what? Conform that person that's my child to his image. And I thank God for the troubles that I've been through, because it was in those troubles that I found out it wasn't me. It was God.
Amen.
And that was the only place that I could go, was to run to my God, because I didn't have the power.
Amen.
And that's where, you know, so in the authoritative prayer, you know, sometimes we hear people, you know, I used to hear people, you know, their life's perfect and mine's not. By no means do I want anybody to think that, because in this world, you will have tribulation. And if you're not going through something right now, thank God, because you're going to be going through something, because we aren't in heaven yet.
The last example I give here for some overcoming is Abraham and Sarah having a child. This explains something about Abraham. We were talking about him going through Eliezer and you know, all those things that he messed up on. But Abraham raising his knife to kill Isaac after he was born, Abraham had to believe and speak it. And when he did, God said, now I know. Now I know who you are. Now I know you trust me. Now I know. That's when Abraham in his mind called those things that be not as they are. Because in Hebrews it says, he raised his knife knowing that God could raise him from the dead. Now that's some faith. Not only did it look impossible, it looked tragic. But I believe those things that be not as though they are. You said I would have a child. This is my last chance here. He's a teenager now. I'll raise my knife. I'll kill him, but you better raise him from the dead. God ordained another example that the enemy lost the war even before it started in Joshua 11. Look at this war. Joshua made a war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Hittites, inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden the enemy's hearts. Hello? Why does he harden the enemy's hearts? So they can come and get defeated. Okay?
Teach us about
that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they, the enemy, might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. The war was over before it started with that deal. So once you go to war, but you've already won. How about the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day? Page 5. How about the miracle of Jesus being raised from the dead on the fourth day? On the third day. Now, talking about standing a long time, Matthew 25 speaks about this mystery. The wise and the foolish virgins in Matthew 25:1 tells about 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins. The only difference was the foolish ones did not hang on long enough when their bridegroom was late in keeping his promise. Underline that. The foolish did not have enough oil to wait for him. You need a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord will come back now into your situation to change your problems into blessings. The wise virgins knew their master's personality. Listen to this. I can hear them saying, I don't care if he's late. He's a man of honor and integrity. I know my Jesus. He wouldn't lie to me. He wouldn't give me a promise 30 years ago and not keep it. He's a man of integrity. He never tells anything but truth. He will keep his word. He will never leave me nor forsake me. The wise virgins stay connected to God and his word and the Holy Spirit to such a degree that nothing could move them. Satan does not stand a chance. Luke 10:19 says, Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much? And nothing shall by any means hurt you if, of course, this authority will not operate in us unless we know our identity in Christ, live out a life of repentance. Satan works on both of these issues through your mind and circumstances in order to nullify your authority. But don't just sit there until you die. Walk into the enemy's camp. Cast them out with your prayers. Go ahead and think of your worst problem now. Now think up or look up a promise in God's word. Now you decide which one is changeable and which one is unchangeable. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield its increase. God, our own God, will bless us. Psalm 67:5. If our love were just more simple, we would take him at his word and our lives would be all sunshine in the sweetness of our Lord. Matt, will you close with prayer?
I want to tell you about a little example that happened to us. The battery was dead in one of the cars, and so I said, well, you know, I'll call AAA. So they came out, cranked it. He said, take it straight to the station because you're going to have to get a new battery. So I was up at the stoplight, and I was praying. And the Lord said, fret not yourself at these light occurrences. And I thought, Lord, is this a light occurrence that I have to drive this car up here and get a new battery? But he didn't like for me to fret over it.
Yeah.
So I took it up there, and we didn't need a new battery. But we kept it cranked and watched it while we sat in Chick-fil-A and had something to eat for breakfast.
Good. Okay, Matt, close us down there.
Father God, we live in a world full of human carnage. We live in a world full of people, God, who are unwilling casualties in this spiritual world. God, you have opened up our eyes to what is going on around us. Same way that you opened up the eyes of these lepers, the weakest among Israel. And you have opened up our eyes, Father. God, that you would give us courage to go out into this world full of hurting and broken, destroyed people and show them, Father, the blessings that you have because you have already given them victory in Jesus. The blessings that you have in store for them, God. Father, that we would, God, that we would yield our spirits to you the way that these lepers
yielded themselves, knowing that they had nothing to lose. God, you have given us everything. You have given us every blessing in Jesus Christ. Father God, take away our fear, our inhibitions, whatever would keep us from going out into this battle. And help us to be that light, that blessing that you have told us already that we are. As you told Gideon to go out in the strength that you have, Father, you are telling us to go out in the strength that we have. God, may we live up to that in Jesus' name.
Before we get up, on your last page of Psalms 91, that would be a great authoritative prayer just to pray every day, like Carol does, 3 or 4 times a day. And many of you know how that started with her. We were in Haiti, and we were preaching the word in a church. 3 or 4 nights later, Carol couldn't go to sleep. I was sound asleep. We were in a room with no lock on the door, no lights. Next door was a voodoo temple. They were sacrificing everything. Maybe even humans, I'm not sure. And Carol doesn't usually get scared. And she took a flashlight and started speaking Psalms 91 and spoke it all night long and memorized it. The next morning, our Haitian missionary, Carol, were talking. She said, Pastor Hughes, I got scared, and this is what I did. He said, it was real. I had a dream that they were going to attack you, and your prayer stopped them. So pray Psalms 91 a lot. Very, very powerful. Thank you for coming today, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.